They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Shu Bartholomew. Joining us today, we have Billy Martin. He lives in Houston, where Billy has had some problems, and this is not Billy's first visit with us here on the Commons. Billy's been with us before. So, Billy, catch us up on what's been happening. The last time we talked to you, the association was going after you for flying a flag. You went to court. You won that one. Things are not doing so well, are they?
They have just begun, Shu. What happened in court in January, the judge actually looked at the case, looked at the plaintiffs, the homeowners association and their attorney, and basically asked him, were they out of their minds to sue a veteran for flying the U.S. flag on his own property under state and federal law? And the judge said, this is not a matter of fact to be judged by a jury. This is a matter of law to be determined by me. He told my attorney to submit to him paperwork asking for a summary judgment. He said that as soon as he gets the paperwork within 20 days, as soon as he can sign it, and I think he has to have it in his possession for 20 days, it would be dismissed. And that's exactly what happened. In the middle of February, the judge signed the paperwork. I think everything's over with. Fantastic on my part. Maybe these people will leave me alone now. Well, that wasn't the case. I went to a board meeting about 3 days after the judge signed it, and I got arrested.
Wait a minute. You were arrested?
I got arrested on my own property because the board directed to this police officer that they have hired specifically to come in and harass me for criminal trespass on my own property.
Okay, where were you, Billy? Where were you when you were arrested?
I was in our club. Well, I was inside the clubhouse and I was outside the clubhouse on the common grounds.
So you were not inside your own home?
I was not inside my own home, no.
But you were a member. But you are a member of the association, and you have every right to be there.
Absolutely. The only way that I could not have been there is that the judge would have ordered a judgment against me that precluded me from being able to go to any of the events, to go to a board meeting, to not go within the clubhouse grounds. That's never been proposed. The judge has never ordered anything like that. The boards never ask for anything like that. In fact, just the opposite. They know that if they go to court and ask for something like that, the judge will laugh them out of the court. So what they do is they hire this officer. And in fact, we brought suit against the city of Houston because of what this officer was doing. And last summer, We had a conversation with the city attorney's office and agreed to drop our suit against the city if they would control this officer and quit allowing him to do what he was doing, which was to try to enforce what we term in the state of Texas house rules. They're not laws, and law enforcement officers by mandate are supposed to enforce the law. But somebody makes up a rule and say, go enforce this rule for me. This is what we say you have to go do. That's absurd. It's unconstitutional. In fact, it was a violation of my constitutional rights.
Billy, let me ask you, this officer, was he a rent-a-cop or a real police officer?
A real police officer on doing his second job.
Okay, so he was not on duty. He was hired as a second job, you say, right?
Right, and he was hired specifically that any time that I spoke or raised my hand or asked a question at a board meeting, he would immediately get up and come over to me and tell me I was disturbing the peace. He did that for maybe 8 or 9 different meetings. Now, during that meeting, anybody else that would say anything, nothing was ever said nor done. And there would be sometimes 8, 10 people that would ask questions or whatever. As soon as I opened my mouth to ask a question, 2 people, Philip Salerno and Jim Ellswick, would give the officer a signal, and we have this video recorded also, give him a signal, and he would come over and threaten me with arrest. And it got to a point to where I finally told the officer, get out of my face. If I'm doing something illegal, arrest me, but stop harassing me. And finally, in February, he probably asked the board no less than 6 times, did they want him to arrest me? Now, think about what I just said. Did they want the police officer to arrest me? It wasn't that the police officer made an independent determination that I broke the law, but did the board want me harassed by having this officer make an illegal arrest on me? And he finally did.
All right. Now, he arrested you under the laws of Texas and took you to a state or county or whatever jurisdiction you happen to be in, whatever the police department or the jail, or that was actually within the real government's purview and not in the HOA, right?
You went to the
city jail? No?
Well, not quite, because I refused to go to jail. I told this officer, I'll be damned if I'm going to allow you to do an illegal arrest and put me in jail like you people did, you know, like this board had done 1.5 years ago. I said, I want senior police officers out here. I want a captain. I want a lieutenant. I want senior sergeants on this property to tell me that what I've done is illegal, and they make a determination, not you, because you're bought and paid for. You're one of their minions. And I told him, I said, you have no integrity. You have no honor. I've not broken the law, and you've arrested me. So some officers were called. In fact, while I was being walked out to a car, to his car to be placed in it until a transport officer got out, I called up the local news media. I called my attorney, who happened to be one of my attorneys, a friend of mine, happened to be in Australia at the time. I called him up to let him know what in the world was happening. Well, there were at least six senior police officers that outranked this officer that showed up on the scene. The first one came up, saw me in the back seat, handcuffed, and said, this is as close as I remember. We do have it recorded, though.
Okay.
Billy, what in the world is going on? And I told him. He said, you got to be kidding me. He arrested you on your own property. Didn't you tell him you were one of the owners here? I said, you're absolutely right, I did. I said, even ask the board if I'm not one of the owners. And this officer said, well, you still have no rights to be here. Well, these officers took Officer Baez over to the side and basically told him that he had messed up royally, that not only one, had he arrested me for a crime that I had not committed, but secondly, I have never done anything wrong at our homeowners association, and that he was on the wrong side. He needed to understand these people were using him to harass me. He came back over. They took the handcuffs off. He started becoming incredibly apologetic and said, oh, please, you know, let's just forget this, and, you know, like it never happened. You know, well, oh, I screwed up. I violated your constitutional rights. I've arrested you. I've handcuffed you in front of all of the people that live out here. I've handcuffed you in front of the board. I've hurt your arm. And but it's okay. You know, King's X, let's have a do-over. And
what
I told him there's
do?
No way. I said, there's no way in the world. You need to understand something. There's something called the law of volitional responsibility. You make a decision, and you personally are responsible to God and to whoever you make that decision about or to for what you do. This man arrested me illegally. I was incarcerated. I was placed in a police car. It wasn't just so that I could be checked out, because we have on film that on video that he arrests me and says, I'm being arrested for trespass. Now he's trying to change his mind and tell people, I was arrested for disturbing the peace.
I'm sorry, Billy, the car, was it a police car or his personal car?
I was in a police car.
So this is a police officer who was moonlighting as a rent-a-cop using an actual police car?
I'm trying to remember right now exactly. I know when we walked out, no, he handcuffed me to a bench until a transport vehicle got there. When the transport vehicle got there, I was forced inside. Now, I forgot something, and I need to go back and add a couple of things. When I walked out of there to leave, he followed me out of the meeting room, drew his taser, and was going to shoot me in the heart with the taser. I said, you know what? You're an idiot. I've got 7 heart stents in my heart. You know that I've had heart problems. You've been told that. I've had, you know, I've had multiple coronary events, and I've got 7 heart stents in. I said, shoot me in the heart with that taser, and they're going to get you for negligent homicide. In fact, it may be for more than that. Well, then he realized that, one, you know, he was being recorded, even outside. We've got his voice recording on all the things that went on. And then it got recorded when he decided that, okay, he's got to try to save himself. And so that's when he arrested me for criminal trespass.
You have, it's an audio recording, Billy?
I have an audio and a visual recording of 99% of everything that happened that night.
We're talking to Billy Martin, who lives in Houston, Texas, and has been having problems with his wonderful homeowners association. It all started with a flag. It got personal, and I'm now learning that it got incredibly nasty. Billy, you said you called the media. Did the media show up?
They did the next day.
They weren't there then.
What happened is there is an investigative reporter by the name of Rux Russell. Rux is a reporter for station KHOU, Channel 11 here in Houston. And he had done a series on me in the past, for Memorial Day of last year. And he's very much followed this case, because one of the other things that I need to insert here is the fact that these people have decided, even though the judge ruled that there was a state and federal law that covered me, in fact, when all of this stuff happened a little over a year ago, 2 state senators and a state representative, State Senator Whitmire, State Senator Patrick, and Representative Bohack, there was a bill that went through the legislature. It was House Bill 680. And my understanding was it was specifically designed against Forest Lake Townhome Association, my townhome association, to preclude them from being able to try to do what they were doing, because my flagpole is attached to my home. They seem to think that they own the air above the ground. My flagpole's never been in the ground. Never once has it ever been in the ground. It's always been suspended above the ground, just like flagpoles in the side of a house. I'm just, you know, I'm a little bit different. Well, these people have decided that they were going to appeal the judge's ruling. The judge made a determination based on law, not fact, on law. And now, 2 weeks ago yesterday, they put an appeal into the state's appeals courts. And as it appears on what they're trying to do is to overturn the constitutionality of being able to fly the American flag on your own property.
Whoa. They're going to what?
They are appealing the judge's ruling based on state law and federal law. And the only thing that we've been able to determine on why they're doing this is to give homeowners associations in the state of Texas, i.e., and it could sweep all across the country, the right to determine if they can keep people from flying the American flag. I mean, it's a Greek first class condition. If A, then B. If you have, it's a forced conclusion based upon the facts that we have.
Okay. There are federal laws that say you can fly the flag. Unfortunately, the laws that have been enacted across the country don't go far enough because the Community Associations Institute goes in and convinces the legislators that, oh, associations have to have some controls because otherwise you might end up with a dangerous situation and somebody might get hurt. As dumb as that excuse is, the legislators are buying it. So they're allowing CAI to come in and massage and tweak this. So now you're allowed to fly the flag if it's on, you know. I mean, some of the conditions are insane. But the fact is, they can't stop you. I mean, it is a First Amendment right.
Absolutely. And especially, my flagpole is cantilevered off of my front porch. Just like you'd cantilever a small wooden flagpole off the side of your house.
Right.
Mine's flat. Mine's cantilevered off, but mine's done 90 degrees instead of at 45 degrees. But it's still all on my property. And what these people want is power.
Yes. Absolutely.
We have in our community a tremendous upgrade project in the billions of dollars for community improvement. We've got people that are coming in over the next 10 years. The property values are going to double and triple. Highway 290 from Highway 610 out to the Beltway is being worked on right now, which is less than a mile from where I live. And I live in a really beautiful little townhome community. Those property values are going to go through the roof. But if this board of directors can make it so bad for the people that live there, and there's lots of people that have left. I mean, we've had two former board members that resigned from the board or refused to run and got out because of the illegalities that several members of the boards were doing. I found last Friday night before I came over to Austin on business, or excuse me, Friday night before I came over here for business, that there was a black female who lives in the complex. She's lived there for 10 plus years. She has never been late one time for any payment for any reason. A couple of months ago, she lost her job because of that. I think the company got sold anyway. There was some downsizing. She lost her job. She went to the general manager and ask if she could have an extension because they threatened to cut her water off, and it scared hell out of her. Well, in the state of Texas, that's illegal. You cannot cut off necessary services. The board knows it. The general manager knows it, but they use it as scare tactics to force people into having to take them to court to get their water turned back on. So these people pay fines and they pay late fees that they don't owe, because the board has the power, they think, to shut your water off. Well, I found out about this woman. I went over and talked to her. She is so deathly afraid of this board.
Yeah.
She said, look what happened to you.
Yes.
Look what happened to you. And last Thursday night, the night before I met her, I went to the board and I told them, you sent me a letter 2 days ago saying you're going to turn my water off 3 days, 4 days hence. what you're doing is illegal. You know it's illegal. And I will hold each and every one of you personally responsible. In fact, I looked at Philip Salerno and I said, I'll hold you responsible. I said, I'm not going to the police with this. You turn my water off and you damage my hot water heater. You damage my home. I get pipes that burst. I have problems over there. And guess what? It's going to be personal between you and me.
It sounds like it already is, Billy.
Well, it is. It is.
It sounds like it already is.
Because Thursday, they knew that I was going out of town. Because I said, if you shut my water off while I'm gone, I'll drive back into town and I will come to your front door. Now, while I'm out of town, sometime between 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon when I left and 8 o'clock that Tuesday evening when I came back, this would have been a week ago. A week ago tonight at 8 o'clock, I walked into my home as I'm talking on the phone with a friend of mine. I pull up, I get out, I go in my back gate. I walk up to my back door and I look inside and I go, I got a serious problem because I've got a huge bookcase inside there with some mementos of my life, both within the military, within special ops, within the black ops community, within dear, dear friends of mine that are Medal of Honor recipients that have been killed in battle. And I got a bunch of stuff missing. It's not there.
Oh, wow.
I immediately told the man I was talking to on the telephone, his name's Lawrence Ermus. I said, Lawrence, I got to hang up. I got somebody just broke into my home. I immediately called a friend up. I said, grab your flashlight, grab a gun, get over here, back me up, because I'm going to clear this house. If somebody's in here, they've got some real problems. I immediately then called the police, told them what it was, told them that I'm a former officer. I'd been certified and held certain credentials for over 30 years. And I said, I will be clearing my own home, because I can do it better than a line officer that comes out and puts his life at risk. I'm a lot better at doing that because that's part of what I do. So I put this young man at my back door and I went in to clear the house. Shu, I have never been as sick to my stomach as I was when I walked through my house. On my big screen TV immediately to the left, they had written F-U and they'd spelled the word out in my 55-inch television. They'd carved it in with a knife. They had sliced up three leather couches and recliner. Just sliced them up to ruin them. They'd taken my West Point pictures down off of the... I've got some incredible matching numbered prints from West Point. They had taken them down. They had cut them up. They had taken all the stuff that I had... Not all, but a goodly portion of very expensive items as well as memorabilia and put them in a black sack, and something happened to scare them off because they actually left it between two of my couches. But as I walked through my home, I couldn't believe the things that had been destroyed. When I got upstairs and I walked into the spare bedroom, because that's what I cleared first, I have a big, big closet in there, and I keep all my winter clothes, and I keep a lot of my military clothes and things in there because I still do work with training military people. Every piece of clothing that I own, with the exception of three pair of jeans and about six T-shirts and maybe two long sleeve shirts, was destroyed. And when I say destroyed, they had taken a knife and they cut up all my underwear, all my socks, my hankies, my sports shirts, my dress shirts, T-shirts. I had a beautiful, beautiful English shooting outfit, which has what we call plus fours. I used to shoot driven pheasant hunt over in Europe. They cut those all up. They cut my hats up. They cut my West Point. I still have my uniforms from West Point. They cut a part of those. Then they took a knife and they sliced my bed up in the bedroom. They took my golf clubs that my mother gave me before she died. Gave me a present of some brand new golf clubs that I'd never even used before. In fact, I was just getting into shape to go out and start using them because the lady I'm dating now plays golf. They had broken two complete sets of golf clubs. They took cowboy boots made by one of the world's top boot makers here in Houston. They built all the boots for the series Lonesome Dove. They took my boots and they sliced them up like you just slice paper. Not little nicks. Totally destroyed. Then I went to my office next door. They had shattered my computer and ruined it. My computer screen destroyed everything that's in there. I have this beautiful, beautiful bronze elephant out in my hall that Tom Tischler, who's now the senior man over at the Australia Zoo, did for me right before he left. In fact, it was the last piece he did before he left to go to Australia. This beautiful, beautiful bull elephant called In the Wind. And they had destroyed it. They hacked on it with a giant machete. They broke off the tail. They tore the tusks up. But then I walked into my bedroom, my personal bedroom, Sue. They had cut my bedspreads up. I had two bedspreads on. I had a big Scandia down comforter on. Because I'd broken my neck a couple of times and my back three times in the world of operations, I had a very, very high dollar Tempur-Pedic bed in there. They sliced it from one end to the other and from one side to the other. Not once, not twice. But with such vindictive evilness that it enraged me that they would go to my pillows that I put my head on at night. The safety and sanctity of my own home in my own bed. And they destroyed everything in my bedroom and in my main closets. Everything. They stole my best watch. They stole two watches. They stole a dive watch of mine that I use on operations. And they stole a gold watch of mine. And again, they cut up all my dance shoes. I think I told you personally, I don't know if I said it on the radio before, but one of the things that I do to keep my sanity is to write poetry and dance. And I have a custom dance floor in one of my rooms downstairs. They cut up every pair of dance shoes that I have. All of my workout, all my military boots, all of my ties have been cut in half. I had three tuxedos, one of them a set of tails. And then I had a white dinner jacket. I had several dinner jackets. Everything cut up. I had a 20X Stetson cowboy hat that I had custom made for me. Cut up. I have dance hats that I wear, like when you go out and you look, you know, dance to the big band sounds and stuff from the 40s and 50s. Destroyed all of my dance hats. All of my silk shirts that I wear when I go back to Myrtle Beach and dance the shag back at Ducks and Ducks 2. All my dance trousers. Every piece of clothing that was in my home was cut up and slashed. It took them hours. The only way that could have happened, and with what they hauled off, because they hauled off pretty good bunch of stuff besides destroying it. There's a lot of stuff they stole from me. They had to have an enclosed vehicle like a van or a Jeep Cherokee that had a, you know, something like that that was a CRV, something that you could open the back end up and fill that back end with stuff. They had to be in my place for hours. The only way that could have happened is for somebody in our community to be involved. And I know who did it. I told the police who did it. It's the same two people, two of the three people that came after me several months ago, and I hadn't told you about this before. They beat on my door at 2:00 in the morning, demanded that I take my flag down. And when I ran them off, they told me they were going to get a gun and come back and shoot me. Not only me, but the young man who has stood beside me, Eric Erkins, who stood beside me through all of this.
Billy, this is, I'm speechless. I really don't know what to say. I mean, this has taken HOAs to a whole, HOA hell to a whole new level. How heartbreaking. I mean, I'm trying to imagine going home and finding everything you own totally destroyed, just vandalized for the hell of it.
Oh, absolutely. And it was, I mean, I had a 55-inch big screen television. I had, you know, the only piece of electronics gear that they took that normal people have was I had a Sony 300 carousel disc CD player that was completely filled with CDs and dance music. And I played them when I danced, you know, even when I was by myself, that's what I do is I dance to just relax and feel good and stay in shape. And they took it, and they took some of my I've got night vision equipment that's gone, you know, military binoculars that are gone, a bunch of rifle parts that they took. Thank God my two rifles were with me at the time. I just sold a couple of my guns. And otherwise, they would have, if I'd have left them there, they'd have stolen those too.
Billy, you live in a townhouse, right?
I live in a townhouse, that's correct. Shoes.
And so you have people on either side of you?
On either side of me, and we have security that's supposed to be driving around. But one of the things that we also found out, my homeowners association board, Jim Ellswick and Philip Salerno specifically, and I understand if I make an accusation and it's not true, I mean, they're going to sue me anyway, but Jim Ellswick and Philip Salerno have told the security company people, and the security company people who are friends of theirs have told their officers not to respond to any calls that I make for help. Unless, this is a quote, Bill Martin is on fire, then you can respond.
Did you talk to your neighbors on either side? Are you friends with them, or what's the deal?
Yeah, we did. I mean, in fact, one of my next door neighbors is a police dispatcher down out of Sugar Land, Texas.
And did they hear anything? Did they hear anything?
No, because they didn't really break stuff up. When they went and cut all my pictures up, and I had this marvelous, wonderful picture. Have you ever seen the print or the piece of artwork of General Lee, the Christian general, when he's got a young boy on his lap and he's reading the Bible to him as the boy sleeps?
I don't know if I have or not, but
it's one of the most incredible prints because it's called The Christian General. And I actually used it at a big ball that was in honor of Joanne Herring, the lady that the movie Charlie Wilson's War that's about. She's a really dear friend of mine. But one of the men that I've always respected in my life, and this has nothing to do with politics or the North versus the South or anything else, I've respected him because, one, of his Christian ethics, and secondly, is that he always tried to do the harder right instead of the easier wrong, and that was General Lee. I mean, he was an incredible educator. He went on, you know, to become one of the founders of university and was a president there, the Washington Lee. And they took that. They cut it up. But they made sure that they didn't break things so it wouldn't give off a lot of noise. Now, they hacked up my elephant, but they did that in a hallway that was buffered on either side so nobody would hear. But where places were where there would be people on both sides, they didn't break things. They just destroyed them.
What about, you said they had to have had a car, an enclosed van or SUV or something. Nobody noticed a car in your driveway or parked there that shouldn't have been there, or people loading things up. I mean, I don't know what the place looks like or how it's built, but it would seem to me, wouldn't someone have noticed something somewhere along the lines? No?
Well, we are hoping so. In fact, you know, Rex Russell has, when he did during his multiple telecasts on Channel 11, you know, talked to people about call Crime Stoppers up about there's a reward out for any information leading, you know, to their apprehension and conviction. How it appears to have happened is that two individuals from our townhome association who knew security schedule, when he drives around, and our security is really poor. I mean, we used to have good security until this board got in, and then they fired the company we had and put in some of their own friends. From the president of the board, one of his good friends that just worked two doors down from his office where he owned a business, they gave them the contract. And we just have had turnover after turnover after turnover. You know, we get somebody in there for 2 or 3 weeks and they're gone. 2 or 3 weeks and they're gone. And they, you know, it's like putting a dishwasher in charge of a 5-star restaurant. It doesn't work. Well, these people knew what the security schedule was. They knew that they could get all of the things. I have an 8-foot fence around my back patio. So we're quite sure, and police talked with me about this, that they took all the items that they were going to cart off, put them at my back gate with this 8-foot fence so nobody could see them, wait till security left, and then drove this Jeep Cherokee-type vehicle over there, backed it up into my carport, opened it up, and literally within a couple of 3 minutes, they could have loaded everything they needed to load if it was right there at the gate, because it would have been within about 4 foot of the back tailgate coming down.
Why do you keep saying Jeep Cherokee? I mean, there are a lot of SUVs. Do you have any notion that it might have been a Jeep Cherokee?
Well, since one of the people that I have no doubt that wasn't involved in this, one of the people that beat on my door and threatened to shoot me if I didn't take my damn flag down, just happens to drive one.
Okay. All right.
And here's another thing. One of the things that you do if you profile people or that you're involved in nonverbal communication, and I've taught nonverbal communication at the collegiate level at a university. For over 10 years, every time I've seen this individual, and he lives within 40 yards of my front door with his mother, this individual, and I'm going to give you the history of him so you understand what kind of people that I'm having to deal with. A few years ago, this young man asked his girlfriend to marry him. She says no. So he kidnaps her, takes her off to an apartment, and attempts to cut her eyes out. Now, he gets found not guilty by being criminally insane, gets sent to a state mental hospital for the criminally insane. After a few years, gets released, sent to San Antonio. San Antonio doesn't want him. They refuse. Bayer County refuses to allow him to be down there. So they send him back to Houston to live with his mother. Holy cow. We got this character running around with this kind of situation. He's still under, as far as I know, he's still under judicial control. Now, this individual, when I said the things that I watch people for over 10 years, every time he's driven by and he parks his vehicle out just a few yards from my, you know, my front door, he will get in his vehicle, and as he drives off, he always looks over. If I'm standing outside or watering my plants or anything else, if I'm out there, he always looks over at me. But guess what happened on Tuesday? He gets in his vehicle, and he turns his head the other way as he drives off. Now, in poker, a good poker player would tell you that's a tell, because he's doing something completely different than he's ever done before. from a nonverbal communication specialist, it's like, whoa. It's a searchlight.
It's a sign.
It's turned on. And it's a sign. It's a sign that says, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Now, maybe he isn't. There's always a possibility that I'm wrong.
Yeah, because you know, you're right, and we have senses, but in this country, again, you're innocent until proven guilty. So we want to make sure that we don't point any fingers. All of that stuff is really good stuff because that's the kind of things that the detectives are going to need, the information the detectives are going to need to try to put the case together.
Absolutely.
But, I don't want to go on this show and say that he is guilty because we don't know that.
No, absolutely not. And I wouldn't either until a jury said you're guilty or he pled guilty.
Yeah.
But I can say that the facts as I know them that have built up and built up and built up and built up tend to drive one to a very specific conclusion.
Right. No, I absolutely. I was sick because there's a video as you take us through your house and show us the pile of clothes that have been cut up, that are thrown on the bed, on the couch that's been cut up, the picture where you show us where you put your hand through the picture that's been cut up. So there's a video out there and you can look it up and for yourselves and look and see what kind of damage was done. Billy, the police, what's their take on all of this?
Well, the officer that first responded to this is an officer that grew up in our neighborhood. And in fact, until that officer, and he was looking to move into our townhome association. Until he saw what the townhome association is doing to me, and there's no way that officer would move in now. He responded knowing full well what these people have been doing. And he's, they have to respond when a call comes in. He took this call because he recognized my address and knew that I had had such bad things that they have tried to attempt to do to me. And he came out immediately and was the first on the scene. Their take is, this is a warning. And that warning is, get out of Dodge.
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I'm not running. This boils down about my flag, about honor, about integrity, about doing the harder right instead of the easier wrong. I'm not going to let these people run me off.
Billy, Do you have video camera security on your house? Closed circuit?
I do now.
Okay, good. Good.
Because I've got a friend of mine who's a former SEAL Team 3 guy, and works with me sometimes when I need personal security, and he's just, I've known him for years and 20 plus years anyway. Has a little security company and he's doing some things. I don't know how much is installed right now, but by the time this is played and I get home this afternoon, I'm quite sure that we'll have it. So they want to come back in now, which is something else also. These people did this with such malice aforethought that they wore gloves. These weren't just kids that broke in. These people did this for very specific reasons. And the police said, this is a sign. They've tried everything else. They've called the FBI up and tried to have you arrested. They've called you a child molester. They have done every single thing that they could except try to kill you. And this is a warning. I mean, no doubt in my mind.
Well, it sounds very personal. I mean, usually anybody breaking into our house is not going to leave a message on your TV.
I mean, it's worth about $2,500, even used. My one upstairs probably worth about $1,200-$1,400. There was stuff they could have just picked up and put in the back of a vehicle, driven off with it. The boots, the cowboy boots that I'm talking about, cost between $3,500 and $4,500 per pair. They could have sold those on the open market for $1,000 a pair. They could have made close to $10,000 or more in the secondary market, selling them, you know, to somebody that deals in stolen goods.
And they chose not to do that.
And they chose not to do that, but to cut them up.
Ooh.
Boy, that sends a pretty harsh message when you say, we'll walk away from tens of thousands of dollars to send you a message. These people have had meetings to cheer and have a party when I got arrested. They sent one of their little minions out, you know, 2 years ago in June, and he assaulted me. I ended up getting arrested till we get to court, and then they throw the damn, you know, dismiss the case because it's a bogus case. The night that I got arrested, board members and a bunch of their friends all got together and had a big party.
You know,
this is the type of scumbag evil that I have to deal with.
You know, Billy, I did a show. I had Gary Solomon on, who's a psychologist, who's written a paper saying the HOA, titled the HOA syndrome, which talks about the physical distress that a body suffers when they go through the stress of living in an HOA. We talked about, and I had the guy's attorney on, but we talked about a case out of Florida where a 72-year-old man was evicted from his own home because he grew vegetables instead of fruit in a little patch of yard he had in his trailer park, wherever his trailer was parked. And when he was evicted, the neighbors actually cheered. So there's, and now you're telling me that your neighbors cheered when you got arrested and the board had a party because there's something really sick. There's something very sick about HOAs.
There is. It is about evil, small-minded, scumbag people that ingratiate themselves into a few people in the community. And they get enough votes, because most people don't go out and vote during elections, they get enough votes to get a foothold in. And in our particular homeowners association, about a week before an election a little over 2 years ago, they started a rumor around that the treasurer, who's a graduate of the Harvard business program, the graduate program, not at the undergraduate, but at the graduate level, he was our treasurer. Incredible man, absolutely had his integrity totally in question. And they sent a rumor around to all these elderly people that live in our homeowners association that he had stolen $500,000 worth of their money and they had to get rid of him. Well, normally somebody says something like that, you know it's not true, you just blow it off because you know it's not true. Who in the world would believe such a thing? But if enough people throw enough mud,
yeah,
somebody start, you know, in 1 year I had over 120 calls to the police about me from their little group. 120 calls.
You're
police
kidding.
The police would show up and go, okay, Billy, what are they calling about now? And I'd tell them, and they'd go down and say, he's not doing anything. Leave him alone. You're the people that are causing problems out here. And then you run off in front of five people. I had a guy threaten me. And I said, okay, throw the first punch. He ran off to his phone, called the police up, and said I had threatened to kill him. Well, I had two doctors, the former president of the board, the chief of security for the old security company who worked the property. Of course, they fired him as soon as they got their people in because he, you know, He didn't stand for any nonsense that they were doing. But I had a forensic accountant who works with the top 50 companies in the country. They all witnessed everything, and yet these idiots, even when they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar, swear and be damned, not me. I don't have my hand in the cookie jar. You must be misseeing what you see.
What are you doing with all of the videos and the audio recordings that you have? What's happening to those?
Two things. One, I'm compiling them right now and editing them. And when I say editing, I'm not talking about adding anything. I'm talking about cutting out the dead space that doesn't pertain. I mean, if we go to a board meeting and they talk about putting flowers in, you know, I'm taking that part out of it. But I'm not changing any of the original videos. They're all kept as they are for evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm bringing, we haven't decided how high it's going to be, but it's going to be for at least a $5 million lawsuit. Just give me just a half a second here, just a second. Sorry about that. I've asked the attorney that had my flag case and the attorney that helped me out when I was assaulted, that we put a triumvirate together. And, you know, when you have two people that are against something, that's one thing. When you get three, and now we've got five, because I've got two people that have joined my lawsuit against the board. And I know there's more out there. They just have to feel comfortable enough to know that they don't have to be afraid, and there's people out there that'll stand up with them and for them. Like this woman last Friday night, she said, "My God, I can't believe, you know, you'd be willing to stand up for me." She said, "I want to go over to," they had a casino night. She thought it was last Friday. She said, "I'd like to walk in there and just ask them why they spend all of this money on having, you know, thousands of dollars to have this big party. And when I ask, could I please be late in paying my water bill because I've just lost my job, and I'm told by the general manager it wouldn't do any good for you to ask the board. I run this out here, and they wouldn't do it because of who you are." And that's what he told her. Because of who you are.
Okay, she may very well have a fair housing discrimination case. And
you better believe it.
I would strongly recommend that she file something. You know,
she is joining our suit. And as I said, I'm asking for $5 million on my part. I don't know what we're going to ask for everyone's part. Last summer, I got stabbed in the arm by the general manager. Another resident who was with me got assaulted before I got stabbed. And you know what? The board refused to even acknowledge that it happened. The board hasn't even contacted me to say, you know, "We're really sorry that you lost everything that you had. We're going to try to find out. We're going to try to help you." The only statement that the board gave Rux Russell from station KHOU was nobody on the board had anything to do with it. We didn't break in and do it.
That's the only thing they said.
That's the only thing that they said.
Billy, we're out of time. I am so glad. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for telling us your story. I'm absolutely flabbergasted. I cannot believe that this is happening. Good luck with protecting yourself. Please, please, please let me know. Keep in touch and let me know what happens.
Stu, I want to thank you for all the hard work that you do behind the scenes, not in helping to bring my story out, but to bring the story of the evilness that homeowners associations inherently have, because it allows them to have too much power and to hurt too many people. You are an unsung hero.
Well, thank you.
More people need to know about that.
Thank you, but, you know, the thing is, we can't allow this to continue one way or the other. It's got to stop.
Things have to change. They have to change because I will not allow someone to run me out of my own home. They have thrown down the gauntlet of war. War is my specialty.
Really? God bless. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, my darling.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.